Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Native. Yes, for 20% off your first purchase of Native deodorant, go to Native Deodorant and use promo code GHOST during checkout. Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask, a flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a Spirit Flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show, weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your Spirit Flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, creepy, crawly things torment a woman late at night, and then simply disappear when the lights go on. A strange figure wanders the dangerous roads of a highway late at night. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, it is. Give us a call, 855-853-4802. Show your ghost story with us 24-7. May use it on a future episode. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Support the program. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. You go to ghostpodcast.com. You sign up there, $5 a month. Get access to all the advanced episodes of the program and an exclusive bonus episode that we release every single week. Feels much different than the normal show. Lots of storytelling in there. You can get a sample of that on Thursday's episode. So check that out and get access to all of those. Now, almost like 240 or so of those out there now at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on today's episode. And how are you this fine freezing week?
It's not that bad where I live.
It isn't.
It could be worse.
And by the time this thing airs, it'll be tropical climates throughout the entire country.
Exactly.
In mid-February. But when we're recording this, a lot of the country is about to get under a massive cold wave. What do you even call it? It's not a heat wave.
It's something to do with polar
vortex.
Yes.
A massive polar vortex is about to come down and kick everyone's ass. Here I think we're going to get to like single digits. I know up in Wisconsin where my parents live, they're talking like negative 20, 30, 40, 50 at night. And don't miss that shit at all.
God, I mean, that's just insane.
I remember that when I was a kid. I remember like we would have snow days and we'd also have, it's just too damn cold out. Vehicles aren't running days. And you just kind of stay at home and hope to God your heat stays on. And otherwise, shit goes downhill really fast.
Yeah, they were talking about Chicago today. And I don't even get how you deal with that many people. Because there would be a lot of people who don't have proper shelter or, you know, they are behind on their utilities or whatever. Yeah. And I just worry about him.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot to deal with.
There's a lot of people that die in those situations because of exactly that, and then try and get someone out there to service it. And not that they don't want to, but they just can't sometimes because cars don't run. Yeah, it can be kind of a scary time, especially if it lasts for a while. What's the coldest temp you've ever experienced in your life?
Well, I was in Chicago, and it was a similar cold snap.
Okay.
My dad lived there, and if I remember right, it was around with the wind chill around 40 below.
Yeah.
And we were waiting on a bus. I was like, and where we were waiting for the bus, there wasn't a good shelter even there. And it was just a this different kind of sensation.
Yeah, it's hard to breathe because it's like you inhale and it like it almost can frostbite your lungs. In fact, I think it can technically if you stay out there in it long enough. I saw something today where it's like you're out there for more than 3 minutes and you're going to have to seek medical attention. It's scary. It's just it's not fun. But there are some neat things you can do. And I mentioned them to you off the air. You take the cup of boiling water, you toss it in the air away from you, not at you because or at anyone else. Because there is a possibility.
If it's windy, watch where you're tossing
it. It could still burn you, but toss it away from anything living. And in most cases, it should, if it's cold enough, evaporate before it hits the ground, which is kind of a neat thing. The other thing I've done is blow bubbles in that cold of weather. And the bubbles freeze pretty much instantly and just fall to the ground and shatter. It's a neat other.
Yeah, I want to see that.
It's
I
cool.
want to do that.
It's kind of like being on a different planet. But there you go. Creepy, weird things to do when it's too damn cold to breathe outside. So
go outside and do these fun activities.
So go out and play with the kids outside. Yeah, exactly. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to our first letter of the day. It says, "It's been a while since I sent in one of my stories. My name is Heather from South Jersey. I was surprised to hear about the spiders appearing while in between an awake and sleeping state. At first, I felt quite embarrassed by my experience because I ended up waking up all the time and all the adults in my house from what I saw. I was pregnant each time these things happened. I was in a deep sleep. I'd suddenly wake up. I would suddenly look around my room. It was very dark, and right above me, I saw this incredibly large spider dangling above me. It was about the size of my fist. My first reaction was, holy shit, where did that come from? I thought to myself in a great shock. My breathing was suddenly heavy. I could not speak. Quickly sat up, trying to catch my breath. Finally, I let out an incredibly loud and panicky scream over and over, trying to get out words, pointing and flailing my arms in the air as if this thrashing spider above me was about to attack me, all the while trying to wake my partner next to me. My parents came running as they were the only one on the on the other side of the wall, bursting into the room, turning on my light. My stepmom yells, holy shit, what's going on? What's wrong? I looked away from this horrifying insect above my head, over to my parents, glanced at my partner, looked up again, and it was gone. I explained what happened. I'm pretty sure they all thought I was crazy after about three of them are coming around the bedroom for such an insect. When nothing was found, I felt pretty upset. I turned to my partner and I told him, I swear it was real. Just as real as you and me. That quickly, I looked away and it was gone. I was in tears from all the commotion. I was very startled from this beastly fist-sized spider I swore was dangling above me. My family chalked it up to being hormones from my pregnancy. Maybe it was, perhaps it wasn't. I felt it was more. During my three pregnancies, I felt experienced a lot more paranormal things. I'm seeing all these insects all dangling above me. Happening all the same way, in a deep sleep, I suddenly opened my eyes, look around the room, and I saw another insect thrashing around above my head. It was terrifying. Thanks for reading my story. I still have many more experiences and stories to share. I've been an EPP now for almost a year. Listen at work. I've got a coworker hooked on the podcast as well. You guys are amazing. Thank you for the outlet. I'm so relieved I'm not alone with this experience. What are your thoughts, Heather from South Jersey? I know insect sightings of this nature are common with, the elevated amount of hormones, withdrawal symptoms from someone getting off of drugs or alcohol, or just, overusing as well, where you can have that sort of a hallucination type thing. So it's hard to say if this was paranormal in nature. If I'm guessing it happened when she was pregnant and things were super elevated, although it was very terrifying. I think this may be in one of those cases where it is the mind doing its thing. And unfortunately, that's what you go through. What are your thoughts?
I have never heard of that. Now it just gives me one more thing to be worried about. Like, it's going to happen to me.
Well, when you finally put down the bottle, you're fucked.
I've never really heard of that. I mean, I've heard of people who are having withdrawals from something and they feel like insects are crawling on them.
Mm-hmm.
But not like this deep sleep and you wake up and there's a fist-sized spider above your head.
Yeah, that
like,
seems
that
a bit more.
That would freak me out. And I don't think she was doing drugs because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, let's say I hope she was.
No, and I'm not remotely accusing her of that. I'm just saying that I know that sort of phenomena happens when essentially the mind is being manipulated by, you know, high levels of this or that, and or lack of. And
well, hormones can be crazy.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, it's kind of like that dream that you have or I've had, that like this intense thing is going on and you swear it's really happening and it's mm-hmm. really not happening.
Sure.
But it feels like it's really happening. Mm-hmm. And then you like really do think you woke up, but you really didn't wake up. Because I've had dreams where I'm like, thank God I woke up. Crap, I'm really not awake.
I've done that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it could be something like that.
You know, that's
where it's like a night terror sort of thing.
That's an interesting thought on it. You know, it very well could be that. And then you pop up and you thought you were already awake. I'll do that sometimes in early morning hours where it's like almost time to get up and I'll doze back off at like 5 a.m. knowing my alarm's going to go off in an hour or two. And I'm just, it's kind of hard to sleep, but I fall back asleep, but I don't realize I fell back asleep. And I'm sitting there dreaming that I'm laying in my bed waiting for the alarm to go off, and then weird shit starts happening. It's like, what the hell? Then boom, I was sleeping. I had a dream once, and this was years ago, when that phenomena happened, and I swear to God, I think I woke up or thought I woke up in the dream at least five times before I actually did wake up. It's like I dreamt I woke up, and then when I was still in that dream, I dreamt I woke up again after realizing I was still dreaming, and it just kept doing it without actually waking up. And yeah, that was a fun one.
And I've had it where it's like, there's this person in my room. Like, it's that real. It's in my room. It's getting ready to come for me. I don't know what it wants for me. And then I wake myself up, but I didn't really wake myself up. And so, but I don't know. It could be something like that.
Sure.
But damn, I don't want that to happen to me.
I've seen the spider things before.
I don't want to go to bed tonight.
I have
the spider.
I have had it. I haven't had a fist sized one hanging above me. But I've had times where I've been looking around, like I'll be sitting there in bed, and maybe just the TV is on or some dimly lit light is around, so I can see a bit. And I swear, I've seen the spider thing before, the way that she's describing it. I was not on anything or coming out of anything, but I've only had it a few times, but it was real enough where I, like, holy shit. And then I turned my light on, and I'm thinking there was, like, a spider walking across the bed. And I don't know what the hell it is, if it's just, you know, kind of your eyes, you know, adjusting from light to dark. You know how you stare at a light, and then, you know, you look somewhere else, and you still kind of have that imprint burned there. I don't know if that's part of what it is or what, but it can be freaky when something like that you think is legitimately there. Thanks for writing in and sharing that experience with us. And now to talk about something really scary, body odor. Yeah, it can be scary. It can be one of the most downright make you run out of a room faster than anything else since. You know what I'm talking about. Native Deodorant is a supporter of ours today, and when you use this stuff, you don't have to worry about that. It's formulated without aluminum, which is good. You know, there's a lot of thought on that. There's some links to serious health ramifications with that. It's probably not a product you really want to have rubbed all over your body. So you don't have to worry about that with their deodorant. With Native Deodorant, it's filled with ingredients found in nature, such as coconut oil for antimicrobial attributes, shea butter for moisture, Tropica starch for absorption, all things you need in a good deodorant, and this is a great one. It's made here in the U.S. with ingredients thoughtfully sourced from around the world, no animal testing, and they have free shipping and returns, so you are sure to love this stuff. You're going to love it. You really will. It can hang with you on the workout. It can be with you if you're a busy mom running around 16 hours a day to this and that and the other thing. It's just good. It's a good quality deodorant that works very well, and you know you're getting something that you're not going to be rubbing something on your body going, yeah, I hope this doesn't do anything to me later in life. They have over 7,000 five-star reviews. You can check them out on the Today Show, Women's Health, Good Morning America, Pop Sugar, Nylon. The list goes on and on. People love this stuff. You should check it out, too. That's what I love about the world today is we don't just have to go to the big box store and then just kind of shove whatever is offered in our cart and then walk away. We can thoughtfully choose our products from sourced areas where they really focus on what they're doing and they love what they do. And that's where you get a really, really good thing. It's almost like going back in time where you go to the butcher, you go to the bakery, you go to the deodorant store. Okay, they didn't have a deodorant store back then, but if they did, this would be the product they would sell. So check it out for yourself. In fact, you guys can get 20% off. 20% off when you use code GHOST at checkout. In fact, this is another thing I really like about them. You can subscribe. I love this stuff with things like this that you're sitting in your bathroom going, I think I'm out of deodorant. I got to pick that up now. When you subscribe to things, it just shows up and you never run out. You subscribe, you save 17%. Yes, saving $2 per stick right there. It shows up on your door every 1, 2, 3 months. You decide for yourself. 20% off your first purchase. Go to nativedeodorant.com. That's N-A-T-I-V-E deodorant. D-E-O-D-O-R-A-N-T.com. I feel like I'm in a spelling bee. Nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST. That, by the way, is spelled G-H-O-S-T. During checkout, get 20% off. They support our show. Support them. Help them stay alive, just as you help us stay alive. Nativedeodorant.com. Promo code GHOST. 20% off for you guys. 855-853-4802. Our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your experiences with us, let's jump over to another letter. It says, hey guys, my name's Myra, calling in from Monterey County, California. I've never had a real encounter with a ghost per se, I think, but the story I'm about to tell you made me a believer in the paranormal. It was around 7 to 8. I was around 7 to 8 years old at the time, now 28. My family and I had gone to Mexico in December, like most Mexican-American families do, to visit our relatives and spend Christmas and New Year's with them. We had driven to Mexico with my uncle's minivan, and once vacation was over, we started heading back to California in the vehicle. My uncle and my dad were in the front seat, my mom and my aunt were in the middle seat, and in the back seat, my two cousins and I sat. We were driving at a normal traffic highway, only a couple of hours away from the border, when all of a sudden I saw a figure attempting to cross the street. This figure seemed like it had a white sheet covering the entire length of its body, but I was able to make out it was wearing shoes. The figure was crossing the highway without a care in the world. How dangerous it was. My uncle nearly collided with it. My uncle panicked and wanted to swerve around it, but my dad screamed, no, no, thinking he would tip the van with all of us in there. My uncle was able to slightly maneuver the van around the figure without hitting it and keeping the vehicle straight on the road. I remembered as we left the figure behind, I immediately looked behind me through the back window of the van and saw, to my surprise, nothing. My immediate thought was if we were barely able to miss hitting the white figure, the cars behind us for sure would have struck it. Instead, what I saw was a big semi-truck driving behind us and the mysterious figure completely gone. My whole family and I were in a state of shock, and I don't remember much after that. Moving forward a couple years later, I had my Sweet 15, or quinceañera, as they call it in Latin America, and had our party in Mexico so our complete family could be able to attend. My dad told me years after my 15th birthday party that on the night of the party, he was making conversation with a photographer. The photographer asked my dad what routes he took and would usually take heading back to California. After my dad told him some of the names of the roads we take, the photographer got curious on a specific highway. Honestly, I can't remember for the life of me the name of the specific highway, but the photographer asked, I heard that highway is haunted. My dad paused and said, really? And asked, why do you say that? The photographer answered, my father-in-law is a trucker and he travels that same route. He says a lot of his buddies who are truckers too have seen a white figure cross the highway at night. It's caused a couple of accidents, some even fatal. My dad just nodded but never mentioned a word about our encounter with the white figure. To this day, my family and I still clearly remember this figure. I'd always assumed it was a person trying to commit suicide until my dad told me otherwise. I now believe that perhaps it is a residual ghost, an imprint of a suicide that's on loop and keeps on causing harm, not only to itself, but to the living as well. Thank you so much for reading my story. I just recently became an EPP member, and I can't wait to hear more of your stories. What do you think of that one?
You know, I think, like, that whole concept is so weird to me. Like, why would that even happen? Like, why would someone like commit suicide someplace and then it goes like on that loop sort of thing? So people see it over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get why that would happen. I've heard of several stories similar to this from people who aren't crazy. Like, they really know what they saw. And when you're driving at night and, you know, you're singing along to the radio or whatever. Now, sometimes you could get really sleepy, but several people saw that in her car.
Yeah.
Like, that's so bizarre to me.
I think with the residual, it's not so much that it's like that. It's not a conscious thing. Right. So there really isn't necessarily a why to it. I think the why we almost assign to, well, if you died there, why would you want to keep replaying it over and over? Well, that person is not there replaying it over and over. It's something about the energy of what happened. Like, it's almost like an imprint.
So how does that
turn
into something you could actually see?
Now, that's the question. But,
you know, like, are some people just open to that sort of thing? Like, you can mm-hmm. see a different dimension than other people? Maybe?
I don't know. Is it some sort of a weird thing with, you know, is there a natural thing going on here? Is there something in the ground right there? Is it some sort of a time slip that allows it, this imprint just to be replayed over and over and over, where it's not meaning any harm? It's just what happens. Because there's a lot of hauntings just like that. Not necessarily always on the road, but there was one... there was one that was always talked about. This was in Wausau, where I lived there, in the stairwell that was directly behind where my bed was, where I had that experience of the sleep paralysis thing. But the story on that stairwell is people see this woman floating up and down the stairs carrying her baby. And it never interacts with anybody. It doesn't even seem to realize anyone else is there. And it's probably not that woman. It's probably just whatever energy is going up and down, it replaying itself in that area for whatever reason. I know those are the weird things with residuals. It's what is the battery? What is causing this?
Yeah. But I really believe that it happens because so many people have seen something like that.
Sure.
And then you wonder, how many times have you seen something like that and not realized what you had actually seen?
Yeah.
Because she turned around and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
Had she not turned around, it would be like, oh my God, that person just committed suicide.
Especially in crowded areas, I wonder that a lot. Right. Like going to Disney World or just a super busy mall or something where there's a lot of energy, a lot of people, and, you know, just everything's active. That to me, I think, would be a great place for a haunting. But probably one of the most difficult to identify if there's anything remotely paranormal even going on, because there's so much distraction in people.
But like in their story where someone even said, oh, you travel that way, you know, I've heard about this highway. Mm-hmm. So that validates too what you saw.
Oh. Creepy
that
story.
A total stranger would happen to bring that up.
I love some of my favorite stories that we get. I know this was not from a trucker, but they had mentioned a trucker in there. Some of my favorite ghost stories that we get have been from truckers over the years, with the weird things that they will discover on the road and those stretches where it's just unexplained phenomena. And they're a source of some of the best stories, in my opinion. But thank you for writing in and sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Name's Diane from New Bedford. I've called in before. I'm not sure if you remember. I called in about depression and psychosis and had a few experiences that I shared with you guys a while back. I'm calling back because I recently had a different experience, and it really was not anything I could have ever expected or just thought that would happen to me. So as I had said in the previous time I called, I struggle with depression and extreme anxiety. The anxiety is almost to the point of paranoia. And so I have been doing different things to try and calm the anxiety, you know, besides medication, do all sorts of things like exercise and do yoga. And I had just started yoga, so I'm not like a yoga fiend yet, but yoga is very helpful, by the way. It kind of gets you, it grounds you and makes you focus on your body rather than all the 500,000 other things that you shouldn't really be focusing on. And, you know, just trying to self-help. And so my counselor kind of recommended that I should try Reiki. Now, I never really had heard of Reiki. I wasn't sure what it was about. You know, I did a little bit of research to see what its background was, and just, you know, see if it would be something helpful for me. So I scheduled an appointment with the lady a couple of miles away from where I live. And so we started the session, and, you know, we walked in the room where she does the Reiki therapy. And it was, you know, tranquil, just like I imagined it. It had the candles and the music and the aromas and the table for me to lay down on. So I proceeded to lay down on the table, and she kind of explained what she would do. And she put the pillow, like a little eye pillow, over my eyes. And she started to do her thing. And a little while into the session, it was an hour session, but a little while into the session, I was awake. I was wide awake. My eyes were closed, though. But I kept getting visions of people. And these were not people that I knew. But one thing was really clear about them is that they were angelic in nature. They were very peaceful with a white, soft glow around them. But they looked like human beings, just very happy, very peaceful and tranquil. They didn't talk. They just smiled at me. In one case, there were children. But I didn't feel afraid. I just kept telling myself, when she's done, I'm going to ask her who those people were. And it was, you know, I saw several, maybe five or six people that kind of came into my vision and into my mind's eye. And some of them were young. They ranged, you know, male and female, younger and older. There was a young man there and a couple of older ladies. So anyways, by the time the session was done, I asked the therapist, a Reiki master, I'm not sure how to, what to call her, who were those people that I saw? I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't a dream, I was awake because the session was only an hour and it's not like I passed out on the table. And she said, those are your guardians. And she said, not many people can see their guardians. And the fact that you can, she said, makes you quite psychic. Now, I'm not someone who believes that that is true, but I found it interesting. You know, I definitely walked away with a belief that there's something out there that we don't understand. Which I kind of already knew anyways, but this was like an unexpected thing that was out there that I didn't understand. So I just wanted to share that because it's not something that should not be talked about, I think. We should be open about talking about stuff like that. So anyways, just wanted to share that. Enjoy your show very much, and thank you for all the distraction and, you know, entertainment you give me on my very long ride home from work every day. All right, have a great 2019, and maybe I'll call in again soon. Thank you.
I'm not super familiar with Reiki. Do you know anything about Reiki?
No.
It's not something you've been practicing right before the show?
No.
Just
I don't know a damn thing about it, but I loved that story. And I really do. As she was telling the story, mm-hmm. I was thinking that. I'm like, those are her guardians that she's seeing.
Sure.
Because you kind of, I would think in that process, not necessarily like a sleeping dreamlike state, mm-hmm. but that you get so relaxed and you're so open.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's one of those interesting things where and I don't want to just lump everything together because there's a lot of variances to different types of meditation and things of that nature where, right. where you know, these you can have visions, you know, like this, but it's interesting where it all kind of comes full circle and an identity can actually be put on to what was going on there.
And the fact that as she said, the therapist or the master person. I don't know the terms either. But that's what that person said. Yeah. Like, and that just makes some sense to me, because I think that we, I don't know how it works. Nobody does. But it just seems like, you know, there's been things that I know have happened in my life that I'm like, I don't know how I just survived that.
Sure.
I don't know whose voice just shouted that. And because, like, there's nobody in my car. Whose voice did I just hear?
Yeah.
And so things have, like, that have happened to me. So I always have thought there's something bigger out there than what I know. But that's a pretty cool story.
It is. Thank you for sharing that that one with us. Our phone number, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller.
Hi. This is a pest from Ohio. Not naming names, but you probably know who it is. Thought I'd tell you a story, not involving me, but my cousin. When we grew up, we would get to see them every once in a while. And we were real close to the mother, our aunts and everything. But as she grew up, my cousin got married, and he was happily married for a while, but he died. And it broke everybody's heart that he had died. And it took her a long while to get over that. But then she finally met another gentleman, and she became really happy. He wanted what she wanted, and they got married, but they moved out of where they was at to a different state. And she ended up getting sick one day, really, really bad sick, and she about died. And when she was in between that period of living and dying, she sees her first husband, and he goes, "I know how much you want to see me or whatever, but you can't, because you're going to be very, very happy soon. You have to go back. It's not your time." Well, she woke up from her days like sleep and not feeling very well, and she recovered. Turns out she was expecting a little one, and she was really, really happy about that. They both were, and she even had a cute name, but I'm not going to mention the nickname for the little one. And she never really, her newest husband knew the attachment that she had for her first husband, and it was sad the way he died, but she never really mentioned it to her little one. But one day, he was looking through some pictures. It was the anniversary of his death, and she said, "Oh, I gotta go through some pictures and see about, you know, just remember him and everything." And she went through it, and he goes, and the little one looks up and says, looks at her mommy, she goes, "I love," she goes, "there he is." And he goes, she goes, "What do you mean? That's my imaginary friend. That's her, my friend." Not imaginary to her, he was real. "That's my friend." And she said, "Which one do you mean?" Because she had a bunch of old pictures on her, and she points right at her first husband's picture. "He comes and talks to me all the time, and he makes me laugh." And it kind of put shivers down her back, but it kind of made her happy at the same time. And his two little ones are receptive to and things like that. But I thought you would get a little glimpse of the little ones, how they do see things, which is true. Well, God bless. Talk to you later. Bye.
That's quite a story. I mean, I guess if there's any way for, I mean, it's not like it's an ex-husband because of a divorce or something. It's someone who died in an accident or just an unexpected death. To still be involved in the life of the person that he cared so much about.
See, and that kind of goes back to that caller just right before her.
Mm-hmm.
That I do think, like, I always thought when my dad died, I'm like, you know, he wouldn't be the type of person who would ever leave me. Like, I felt that really strongly. Like, I'm like, as long as I'm on this planet, my dad will never leave me. I've always felt that. And I didn't feel like that about my grandma, but, and I loved her very much, but I've always felt that about my dad, that he's always kind of nearby. And then that's who my nephew would talk to after he died. Mm-hmm. And he knew his grandpa. Sure. And so he knew exactly who he was talking to and seeing. But I don't know.
When he was having those conversations and he was talking to him, did you ever, how old was he at the time?
He was five-ish,
okay,
4 or 5.
Did he ever say like what they talked about, or was there ever any, do you remember any of that? Like when you would talk about that?
I don't remember specific things that he would say, but it would be like, you know, he would talk about him being there. It was very matter of fact.
Sure.
Like, yeah, I saw him. He was here. And he came by often. And and I remember, and I think I told you this, when we were waiting in the car, we were doing a little burial. There's five of us. It's a horrible day in Western Kansas. And my dad used to touch the back of my head. Mm-hmm. And he just like rub my hair, like my neck right back in there.
Sure.
And right there, I felt that sensation. And then right then, Chris says, we called him Bozo. Bozo's here. And I'm like, whoa. Like right the second that happened, my nephew said his grandfather was there. And so, yeah, I don't know how that works. I don't know how kids are able to see that. But I think it just kind of ties together with what the other woman's story was, that there are people around that you don't see necessarily.
Does he still remember the,
you know, I've been meaning to talk to him about that. He's been so busy lately getting married.
Yeah.
But I've been meaning to ask him about that because he was old enough, he should still remember that.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear, you know, just kind of the adult recollection of those moments.
Yeah. You know, so I will ask him.
If at all, because sometimes you have these things and then you talk to the adult about the things that happened when they were a child. And sometimes what seems to stand out to us is like, oh my gosh, that's an amazing thing. Sometimes those are like the moments that are like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember doing that at all.
Right. And a lot of kids don't remember that.
Yeah.
Like the kids who, they might kind of remember having an imaginary friend, but not that it was an imaginary friend.
Sure.
Or they might not remember it at all.
Yeah.
But I just think that's so crazy. Like, because I've heard stories like that before. That picture of that person, I know that person. It's like, there's no way you could know that person, kid.
But like, they do. Yeah. They know all the information in the background, and it can get pretty spooky.
I think that's fascinating.
It is. Thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us, Glenda. We do appreciate it. And I think that'll wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Go to our website at ghostpodcast.com. You sign up there, and $5 a month, get access to all the bonus material, everything. It's all there for you at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.